I don't want you to go to hell. How often do we hear that expression, go to hell? I want you to know, my heart is heavy because I know some who are headed in that direction. And the whole design of this lesson is to create within us a realization of what there is that lies out ahead of us. You know, there's not a lot of preaching about hell. You know, that text of the lesson describes that day when there will be those that are on the left hand who will hear the words, depart. But it's not preached anymore. I want to come to church to feel good. I do too. But I want to come to worship so that I can understand my God. And more especially, my destiny. And that's really what this lesson is all about. The world has really, really changed. There are very, very few sermons about hell. And yet, we need to understand that it's out there. And we know about hell because it's Jesus. Why don't you preach Jesus? Why don't you just tell us about Jesus? How can I tell you about Jesus when he is the only one who uses the word, the Greek word for hell, Gehenna, every time it appears in the New Testament, except in one place? Every time that Greek word, Gehenna, is found in the Bible, it's Jesus who uses it. There's no way that I can preach Christ and him crucified. There's no way that I can talk about Jesus without trying to help each one of us understand that it's a reality. It's not easy to preach this sermon emotionally, because as I think about what lies out there, I grieve. Now, there is another word in the Bible that in the King James Bible is translated hell, and that's the word Hades. And it is that place, you remember the story about that rich man and Lazarus? There were two men that lived on this earth. They were, in one sense, neighbors of each other. One lived in a palace-like dwelling. The other man was a beggar that was outside. And the Bible talks about those two men. On this earth, one was blessed and rich, and the other, in a similar way, was cursed and poor. But that all changed. One lived in luxury. The other lived in hunger. And then that all changes. And when you get to the other side of the rest of this story, the Bible talks about in torment that rich man lifted up his eyes. And he saw Lazarus being comforted. One who could drink anything he wanted to in his earthly palace does not even have a drop of water to satisfy the torment in which he's found. The other one is in Abraham's bosom. And in this sermon, we'll make no distinction between the words Hades and hell, because a part of that aspect about hell, Hades, is where that rich man found himself. And evidently the only difference between Hades in that story in Luke 16, translated hell in the King James, and the eternal place of torment, Gehenna, is a time frame. One has an end, the other does not. Let me say to you, with every fiber of my being, I don't want you to go to hell. I want to give you 8 reasons why this sermon is hard to preach. And while as I make preparation for the preaching of it, and even at this very moment, my emotions are stirred deep within me. Because I want you to understand that everything on this earth is temporal. But hell is eternal. Somebody said, it's eternal? Absolutely, it is eternal. It is as eternal as heaven is. Those who believe that when Jesus comes back, there will be no hell, or there will only be hell for the wicked for 1,000 years, do not understand that the very same words applied to heaven are applied to hell. The last verse of that text talks about eternal torment, and the other talks about eternal life. Same Greek word used to describe the eternal nature of the punishment of hell and the eternal bliss of heaven. If, as some teach, that when one is cast into the hell, it will be burned up like a piece of crisp bacon, and that's all that will be. He'll be annihilated, be burned up. There will not be punishment forever and ever. If that's the case, that's how long heaven is going to last. And you need to understand that both heaven and hell are eternal. One says, that doesn't seem fair for a man to live on this earth such a brief period of time and then throw him into eternal punishment, eternal torment forever and ever. That just does not seem right. Could we flip that and say, our life on this earth is described in the Bible as the blinking of an eye, like water poured out upon the ground. And compared to eternity, that's exactly what life is like. It's like the blinking of an eye. Blink your eyes and tell me why it would be just for God to let anyone go to heaven who only serves him for a space like the blinking of the eyes. You see, the time of a crime is not always determined by the punishment of the crime. If I had an AK-47 right this minute, I could take that and kill hundreds of you right this very minute. 15 seconds. What kind of punishment do I deserve? It only took me 15 seconds to kill 100 people, kill 200 people. What is the justice? And if somebody viciously killed your entire family in a moment's time, how would you feel about justice for that kind of activity? The reason anyone would ever make that charge against God is they do not know how tragic sin is and all that sin has brought on this earth. Read the Bible. Go back to the book of Genesis. And then open up your eyes to all that's evil in this world and tell me how on earth sin is a blessing. And the very internal nature of sin is to help us understand that that eternal nature includes eternal punishment, unless there's forgiveness of sins. Heaven and hell are equally as long. The Bible talks about an eternal God. If an eternal hell lasts that long, how long does an eternal God last? How long does an eternal heaven last? The very words that are applied to the Father and to the Son, for in the beginning He was, and the Word was with God. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, He says. I'm the first and the last. That doesn't sound like a moment's time. And the words applied to the Spirit. All three manifestations of deity are described as eternal. Hell's eternal. That's why I don't want you to go to hell. The house of clay in which you abide now, that house made of the dust of the ground in which your soul is living, in which there is a living soul, that house of flesh will decay. But that soul exists forever. And for some, it will exist in an eternal hell. I don't want you to go to hell. And I beg of you to listen to this sermon because of the nature of hell. Let me tell you why else I don't want you to go to heaven. That is because hell is a place of darkness. We'll talk about fire because Jesus is the one who talks about unquenchable fire in describing that place. But let's talk about darkness. Do you remember as a child the phobia you likely had as a child? Can you imagine that that time whenever you were inside a cave and they turned the lights out like oftentimes they do when you go to explore one of the caverns in our land? And did you put your hand in front of your eyes like I put my hand in front of my eyes to see what I could see, and I could see nothing? Imagine being lost, left alone inside that cavern in the midst of darkness, and you do not know what the next step involves. Imagine a child waking in the middle of the night, and there's a noise in the house, and all of a sudden every monster that he's ever seen in every television program is now inside his room, and he screams out, "Mommy, Daddy!" That's darkness. Well, how can hell be both fire and darkness? Because God would make a burning bush that is not burned up with the fire He makes, can make an eternal place of fire that is darkness. It's described over and over again as outer darkness. You've never seen the darkness like outer darkness. And I want to ask you something. Why is it when you wake in the middle of the night and there's a pain in your body, that pain is magnified because of the darkness? And how many times have you thought, if I can just make it to daylight, if I can just make it to daylight? There's no daylight in hell. There's out of darkness, and the Bible says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you ever heard anyone in intense pain scream out? I remember being in a hospital room many years ago when a friend of mine had just had surgery. He had no family at all. I was there with him. I was in the room. They brought him back to his room. He had stitches. And they said, lie on your back. And I will never forget when he pulled over, grabbed the side of that bed and pulled over and ripped one of those stitches out, almost ripped it out, and he let out a scream of torment. I don't want you to go to hell. It's eternal. And it's darkness. I don't want you to go to hell because it's a place of fire and brimstone. It's an eternal fire. It's an unquenchable fire. It's unlike any fire that we know. God is trying to describe in words that we can appreciate the very best that way that we can. It's a different kind of fire. And it is associated with brimstone. If you've ever smelled burning sulfur, it gags you as you breathe it in. When God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he burned it with fire and brimstone. And Jude says, they describe, or they though that Sodom and Gomorrah have been set forth as an example of the torment for those who choose to live that lifestyle. Fire and brimstone. Have you ever, at a campfire, held your hand over the coals to see how long you could leave it there? Were you a Boy Scout troop that ever did that kind of thing? You just said, I'm braver than you are, but I don't leave my hand there longer than you. You may not have tried that, but have you ever picked up one of those branches that was inside that place and you grabbed it by the wrong end? Have you ever been to the kitchen and poured hot liquid on your body in some place, and the pain that was there? God said, let me tell you about this place. It's not a campfire. It is a lake of fire and brimstone. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to go to that place. Can I tell you more about hell? I don't want you to go to hell because it is a place where there's no relief. There's no drugs in hell that can stop that pain. There's no time that will stop that pain. There is no relief. Some of you have dealt with sickness in your own body, and it's hurt so much you thought, will I ever get relief? Have you ever thought, if I could just have one day when I didn't hurt the way that I'm hurting right this very minute? Have you ever waken in the middle of the night and there's that intense pain somewhere in your body and it's sending sharp stabs of pain through every fiber of your being? Is it ever going to stop? There's no relief in heaven. Because that fire does not bring relief. And the Bible says, and they had no rest day or night, those who were cast into the lake of fire. Your eternal soul is in a body that is decaying, and someday it will cease to exist, but you will not. And because hell is a place where there is an eternal fire, where there is darkness, where there is that, there is no relief. There's no relief from that pain. And you and I need to understand that there's no relief. It's a place of torment. You need to understand that the torment is God's manifestation to us and motivation to us to live soberly and righteously while this on this earth. Men are lost. And some of you sitting here this day may be lost. You know that you're lost. And I beg of you, don't go to hell. I don't want you into a place where there's fire, there's darkness, eternally, eternal torment, eternal pain. I don't want you to go to that place. Hell is a place where there's no hope. You go to the dentist, and he can drill you with that drill, but you know, 30 minutes from now, we won't be in this place anymore. There's no relief in hell. Emblazoned across the gates of hell should be these words: leave all hope here. There's no hope. If hell we're only going to last 1,000 years. I've been there one day. And I think I've only got 999 years, 364 more days. And all of this will be over. If it were 1,000,000 years. I've been there one day, 999,999, 364 days. I'll be out of this place. But when we've been there 10,000 years, we have just the same amount of time to spend there as the day we arrive. And you cannot use the word spend to talk about eternity. You spend money and it runs out. You spend time. You cannot spend eternity. The earth is 25,000 miles in circumference. I want you to imagine an insect who's going to walk around that steel ball that's the size of the earth. How long would it take for him to erode a path how many trips before the friction of his body against that steel ball would begin to make some impression? How long before it was an inch deep? That's not eternity. How long would it take until he had split this earth in half? That's not eternity. The building in which you sit is primarily wood. A few steel beams, and the rest of it wood. How long would it take one termite to eat every log, every two before that's inside this building? How long would it take? Suppose the whole earth were made of wood. 10 million years from now, he probably would not have eaten enough for this building. What about the entire universe? That's not eternity. I don't want you to go to hell, because there's no hope. And remember that sign that could be placed across the gates of hell. Leave all hope here. Hell is a place where there will be separation. There will be separation between husbands and wives if one is saved and the other is not. Parents will be separated from their children, and children from their parents. I don't want you to go to hell. Don't tell me that you've heard the pleadings of your wife, perhaps even your children, perhaps your parents that are saying, live right. Live a godly life. Straighten up your life. Well, I cannot stand to be away from my parents. I love them so much. You may be separated eternally, and it is an eternal separation. Don't tell me that you love your wife when you're not living the life of a Christian. Finally, hell is a place of memories. That rich man who had not one drop of water, begged that some water might be brought to him, just one, whatever amount of water would yet own a finger dipped in water, would have been a blessing. It's not there. But Abraham says, son, remember. That's who you are. You are a person that is built around the memories that you have. He remembered his brothers, did he not? He remembered the unrighteousness of his brothers. And he remembered the very sins of covetousness that kept him from being in that place of bliss. In hell, who knows, perhaps that you would remember the pleas that your wife has made to you to obey the gospel. Who knows that you will remember the pleas of your husband as he begged you, honey, live right. Is there that haunting memory that you have now, perhaps even of a deceased parent who said, live right, straighten up your life? In the agonies of hell, that memory, if I had only, there's no hope. And I don't want you to go to hell. What can I say except to beg every one of you with every fiber of my being, if you're living an ungodly life, to straighten up your life. You see, you can't go to heaven. You will be in hell if you don't believe in Jesus. The judge on that day will say, if you do not believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, where I am is not where you'll be. You'll not be in heaven unless you make a decision. I'm going to live a Christian life. I'm going to become a Christian. Jesus says, Luke 13:3, except you repent, you'll perish. You'll not be in heaven unless you tell people that you believe Jesus is the Son of God and tell us this day that you believe He is the Son of God, and then we can baptize you. Confess that you have faith in Jesus. And you'll not be in heaven unless you are baptized. The judge on that day says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And if you've not been baptized, Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Baptism in that verse is equally important with the word faith. And yet he who came and talked about hell talks about heaven. And I really want you to go to heaven. But in deep sobriety of my character, I say to you, please don't go to hell. Become a Christian. And let God wipe away every sin in your life. And the very reason men go to hell will be wiped out of an accountability before God that does not exist. And then he says, live faithfully. And that's every one of us is here. You live by faith to become a Christian, and you live by faith as you are a Christian. It's not on the screen. But I don't want you to go to hell because it is you who has decided. Hell is a choice that you make. God gave His Son to open the doors of heaven. But you're not His until you believe and obey Him. The song of invitation is sung right now to help all of those that we can help go to heaven to come forth and let us know how we can help you get there. Please don't go to hell. Please respond to this invitation if that's the direction you're headed. Come as together we stand and as we sing.